The reading this morning comes from Matthew 21, 23 to 32. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know. We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he didn't go. He did not go. Which of the two sons did what the father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So reads the word of God. You know, that passage is so strong, and there's so many in this world today are just like that. They have heard the message, but they choose not to believe it. But before we go into that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will just open our eyes and our hearts to your word this morning, so that we may see what you have to say to each one of us and correct the things in our lives that we need to change in order to become the people you would have us to be, and to receive the blessing that you wish to bestow on each one of us. And all we've got to do is to be obedient to you to receive it. And then we can enjoy your grace and your peace and your mercy in all that we do. And we need to remember, Lord, that you don't ask us to do things in our own strength. You are there with us all the way to help us and to guide us and to lead us. And all we need to do is to keep in close touch with you. So help us to remain faithful to you, Lord, and just bless us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, I've entitled this morning's message, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Easier said than done at times, isn't it? We can all be guilty of it. This morning, I don't know about you, but there's one thing that gets right up my nose, and that's people who stand up in front of me and use obscure language or fancy language, trying to belittle me. Things that I can't understand, you've got to say, "Well, what's that?" or get a dictionary out to find out what they're talking about. It robs off the message, because I feel that people like that try to belittle you in some way. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus was not like that. He used simple, clear, unambiguous language when he was teaching either his disciples or speaking to the people. He often used parables to instruct people. And that's in this reading today, covered the parable of the two sons. And Jesus asked the audience that he had, who were the leading priests and the elders of Israel at that time, he asked them one question in verse 28. "But what do you think? Why did he ask them, what did you think? He wanted them to think about those two sons. What did they think? And they made their judgment just like that there. But I think in the parable of the two sons who were asked to work in the vineyard, they represent two sorts of people. One who proved better than he promised, the first son. And one who promised more than he produced, the second son. These two sons had the same father. They had both been given the same command to go and work in the graveyard. Or the vineyard even. Could have been a graveyard. We've got a graveyard out there. We go and work in it and cut the grass. But could have been a graveyard, but a vineyard. The command could not have been any clearer, could it? Well then, if we are disciples of Jesus, doesn't the gospel call us to go work in the vineyard? Being a disciple requires obedience. Shouldn't we then be willing to go and to work today? While it is still today, because we're not promised tomorrow, are we? We're given hope for today. Yeah, help for today and promise hope for tomorrow. But tomorrow may never come. So don't put off what you can do today till tomorrow. No mañana, as they say in Spanish. Just as disciples were not sent into the world to be idle, but to fulfill the Great Commission, as we can read in Matthew 28 in verse 19, which reads, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You know, when we consider this parable, especially how each of these sons responded and what directions were to their father's request, and how they were different, weren't they? They were different. One of the sons did better than he said. He proved to be a good son and not as bad as his answer had been the first time. He was very negative, wasn't he? He said, "No, I won't go." But he reconsidered and thought about it, and he went. And you know, we too can be like that. At times we can say no to anything, but then we think about it and think, well, maybe I'm wrong here. And that's fine. If you go and apologize and you go and do it, that's great. The answer that he gave his father, as I said, was a plain no, I will not. And, you know, I'm sure we've all done that from time to time. We've all said no to things which we shouldn't have done. If you've said no, which of the two traits of these sons best fits your actions? I'll leave you to think about that one. You can answer that one for yourselves. Not to me, I don't want to know it. But you need to know it. I don't know about you, but I love the parables of Jesus. Simply because they are simple. Clear, unambiguous language that I can understand. And you know, they become very personal to me. They speak that simple language that even I can understand. And they convey a need for an active response. Remember, actions speak louder than words. In this parable, it would appear that their hearts were so fixed upon their own interests. I don't know what their interests were. Maybe one wanted to go chasing the sheep, another one wanted to throw stones in the river or whatever. But at first, they were not interested. They were not in for working for the Father, really. They loved the business of the world better than the business of their Father. How many times have we put our day-to-day routines before everything else? You know, we joyfully go about working our socks off, as it were. And it's only later on at the end of the day, maybe when we find we've got a little bit of time left, that we might, and I say might, venture to get the Bible out and to sit and have a read and maybe even have a prayer time. It's times like that when we're just like that son who said yes and didn't go and do the work. If we do that, continually without repenting. Have you ever, like the second son, said yes to some request and then just as quickly forgot about it? Guilty. And if we're honest, I think we can all be guilty of that from time to time. But I would suggest that it's better to only say yes when you're willing to do what is asked of us. We need to understand and be straight that you don't always have to say yes. It's all right to say no to any request if you feel incapable of doing it. But I'll add a caveat here. So long as it's not God that's doing the asking. Remember, if God's doing the asking, he's not asking you to go alone. He's asking you to go with him. And when you say no, you're saying, I'm not going with you. And you know, as Christians, that is something which we should never do, is say no to what God is asking. We need to pray and ask, maybe ascertain that it is what he said. Remember what Samuel did when he was in the temple as a young boy? 3 times he went to Eli and says, you called? And Eli then realized that it was the Lord, and he told him the next time, say, Lord, I am here. Speak, your servant heareth. And that's what we should do, is take it to the Lord in prayer. In James 5, verse 12, we read, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Couldn't be any clearer than that. Note, the first son had second thoughts. He changed his mind and repented and went and complied with his father's request. There may well be times when we too will be willful. There will be times when we will need to return and repent to our Father and return to his will if we are going to grow in faith and be fruitful. The second son, as we know, said yes, but then he failed to live up to his promise. His answer was good, but his actions failed to live up to his promise. Both sons, as we have already read, were given the same request. The second son failed to keep his promise. His words were deedless. Let's look what James has to say in James chapter 2, verse 18. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You know, it's a sad fact, but in the world today, there are many people from different walks of life. Sad to say, it's from the churches, from politicians, the leaders, if you will, of this great nation of ours, who promise more than they deliver. And in some cases, they make promises with no real intent to deliver at all, just to get your vote. I'm sure we could all name some of those who don't practice what they preach. Could we not? Well, here ends the political party broadcast. In this parable, both sons had their faults. In simple language, one would say, we could say was rude, and the other was false. Now, I don't know about you, but of the two faults, I would be prepared to be referred to as rude rather than false, because we can always be rude at times. When we consider the action of these two sons, those of us who are parents, I'm sure, have experienced similar situations with our own children. I'm sure we have heard a variety of excuses from time to time regarding their cooperation or their lack of it in doing jobs around the house. And as parents, we need to realise that it does take a great deal of wisdom and a big helping, big dollop of grace to know the best way to manage those situations. You know, I began by believing that today the question that Jesus was asking each one of us was, which one was the better of these two sons? But then it dawned on me. Could these two sons referred to in this parable be compared to the two sides of our sinful nature? The flesh and the spiritual. I believe he is asking each one of us here and now, how are we going to respond to his command to go out into his vineyard, into the fields, to prepare and together in the harvest? Are we serious about taking up his cross and following him? If we answer yes to this question, then we must also practice what we preach. There needs to be evidence of faith. We need to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. We need to heed Jesus' warning, which he gives quite clearly in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 21. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Strong passage. Could not be clearer. We are expected to produce good fruit if we have said yes to the Lord. So if you've said yes, let your yes be yes. And if you've said no, then I would say, get down on your knees, pray to the Lord about it, and be like the first son who said no. Repent and say yes and do it. I believe that's why Jesus began this parable with that question. What do you think? Or to put it another way, what do you believe? What are you prepared to invest in? The things of this world or in Jesus, God's one and only Son, who we had learned during this month as we celebrated Easter, paid the greatest price that he could. He went to the cross for each one of us. His body went through that agony. You know, and they didn't have to. It wasn't the nails that held him there, it was his love for you and me. You know, so if you're listening to this message and you haven't as yet made that decision, I would suggest that you think about it sincerely. And as we've already said, don't put it off till tomorrow. When you hear the Lord speaking to you, that is the time to react. And the answer, I would suggest, should be yes. In fact, it must be yes if you wish to receive God's gift of salvation and a place in heaven, eternal life. Because this life is just a journey that we are on. And you can do it on your own, or you can do it with the Lord. And I know for 53 years, I think it is now, I've been doing it with the Lord. And okay, times have been hard, but I haven't been on my own. And people have let me down, as I've already said, but he has never let me down. And I would recommend them to everyone. It is the only way to enjoy this world and to see through the darker side of the things that are going on. We think of Ukraine and Russia at the moment. And you know, without hope, and there is no hope without salvation. So without God, there is no hope. So I just leave you to think with that and just say, thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, you are such a wonderful, wonderful God. And we thank you for the precious gift that you gave us, your Son Jesus, who went to the cross for our sins. And Lord, we just thank you that Jesus didn't stay in that tomb, that he was raised again on the third day, because without the resurrection, we would be dead and have no hope of resurrection at the end and a new life with you. And Lord, we look forward to that. We just pray that you'll continue to keep us strong, Lord. Keep us putting one foot in front of the other, remembering that we are in a walk with you. And if we stop walking, then we're actually falling back. So Lord, help us to keep one foot in front of the other and our face fixed firmly on that empty cross where the price was paid for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.